Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, here, joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Haphacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us all. I hope you all are having a great day out there. Let's go ahead and kick things off the way we like to with our friend Brittany Merlot talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing all right. Over here. We got a little bit of everything so far this morning. I've been here about 2 hours, and I've seen rain, I've seen sleet, I've seen snow. trying to think of the way the rest of those lyrics go.
Yeah. I
don't know. But
the mail must get through.
A little bit of everything, Brittany.
Oh, no, no, no. That sounds terrible. Oh, gross.
It's calmed down now, though.
It's not too bad right now.
It seems like it's calmed down. What is it looking like the rest of the day?
Yeah, so it looks like you could still see those flurry sleet chances here for about the next 30 minutes or so, and then it really just wants to switch over to some light drizzle, patchy fog, overcast skies, you know, the definition of a dreary day. Pretty gross out there. Mm. But hey, at least it's not downpouring or anything or a big ice storm. It's very light. It's very minimal. There's not a lot of moisture out there, so it's going to actually dry up and ease up by late morning, and then we're just going to be stuck with cloudy skies. Highs, though, will stay on the cooler side of things, only making it to those mid to upper 40s today. And then the clouds will clear overnight tonight. This means we've got a beautiful day on tap tomorrow, highs warmer in the mid-50s, so a good way to close the week out, and it stays bright and beautiful as we roll into Saturday, too, and warmer. So plenty of sunshine, highs will make it to those low to mid-60s to start the weekend off. But we do have a system that wants to roll in on Sunday, so it's going to cut off our sunshine pretty quickly.
Aww.
And then chances for showers in the evening, and that continues into Monday, too. So a little gross, but it'll stay mild. Highs will still be in those 60s, even as we start off next week.
I can handle that.
Yeah.
I can handle that. Yeah.
We got to.
Yeah. Do we have a choice?
Off,
right? No.
Don't really have a, you know, but I do think this might be a good day if you can have a backdrop. If you can have one of those digital backdrops, you know, like Zoom calls and everything. If you could just have focus on that, because I don't know if we want to check out the outdoors so far today. We appreciate you, Brittany. We'll get people ready for the weekend tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
You too.
Best in the business right there. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning.
Yep.
Seth and I got a bunch of fun stuff to do today. We're going to get into a little bit later background music for employees and how that works.
Oh, okay.
And what bad background music can do. We'll get into some of that. We've got, of course, we're going to talk to our friends over at the Suffolk County Humane Society. We have our Pet of the Week coming up and some theme music for that.
Yes.
And that's going to be fun.
We got a new intro for it. Very nice.
Great entertainment news for you. Little bit later, and even after that, Seth and I will get into with any right story, some good stories of the day. We'll touch on our schedule and, of course, focus on a bunch of local events going on and some local things
that
we want to get to. Plenty of great stuff. Thought this would be a good spot to start, Seth, as it is National Siblings Day.
Okay, very nice.
Shout out to all the siblings out there. Certainly, you know, I know you and I have a handful between the two of us and everything.
We do.
A recent poll found 88% of us grew up with at least one brother or sister. But what's the best number of siblings to have? People were asked how many they wish they had growing up. And can you guess what the top number was? And we want audience participation, as always, on this one. 715-424-2600. Feel free to text in using the Civic Media app. We love hearing from y'all.
That's right.
I'm biased on this one. I think two. I grew up perfectly. I'm the oldest, and I have a brother and sister. I got a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
You do have like that. And, boy, you know, this is interesting because from the sibling point of view, it's got to be different from the parent point of view. So if you have, you know, four kids, it's like, wow, why did we have so many kids or something like that, right? But siblings, I kind of like having the one. You know, I have a sister, an older sister, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think really hard about having another sibling. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Imagine having another sibling.
Yes.
It's very hard. So I don't know. Maybe I might just stick with what I had too. Same thing as you.
does make me think of one of my favorite stories when I was a kid. And I remember realizing that my brother and I are 10 years apart. My sister and I are 5 years apart. We're all 5 years. Jill and Nick are 5 years apart.
Right, right.
We're all 5 years apart. Mm-hmm. And my father, being the human calculator that he is, I just figure, well, this is something that they planned on.
He must have done that on purpose.
And I asked my father why they decided to do it this way. And he fell down laughing. Jimmy, you don't plan kids. They just happen.
That's wiser words were never said right there.
26%. Oh, we did get a message in number of four. Oh,
four?
Four. Wow.
That's a lot.
It's a good number, though. That's all right. I didn't expect that. I didn't see it. It's a number. Thank you for texting in, everybody.
Yep.
26% said two siblings is perfect.
Okay.
19% said one, and 18% said three. And zero siblings got 14% of the vote. I was wondering.
They want to be that only child. And those are all only children, by the way, that said that.
I wonder. I think there are a few things you can understand, unless you have done it, as being an only child.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea what that's really like.
No. It's I'm gonna amend that. So it's either only children who mention that, or ones that have like siblings they absolutely hate.
Yes,
should have been an only child.
Yeah. There's another one that's hard for me to get. The idea, I'm not saying that my brother and sister and I haven't fought or anything like that, but the idea that I wouldn't we'd be at that kind of level where I wouldn't even want, you know, siblings or something. I can't wrap my mind around any more than I can being a single kid.
Right. Exactly.
33% of people with siblings think that their mom has a favorite child. Only 22% think their dad does. Interesting.
Wait a minute. So what? Dads don't have favorite?
My little sister is my dad's favorite, and my brother is my mom's. I'm positive. I'm positive of that. I will die on that hill. And I don't disagree with those assessment.
Right?
Yes. I feel like they got that right. I feel like that's a pretty good way to do it. They have a very good judge of character. Most of us don't think that we're the favorite. Only 30% said yes. Okay, wow. Well, that was
see, there you go. Right, you walked right in that one.
I probably should have read ahead.
And that's kind of funny. If parents would actually, you know, say that. I know some in jest would say, well, of course, you know, your sister is my favorite. Yeah. Your brother is my favorite. If they were to actually be honest about it. What those statistics would be.
I like the idea of responding with a secret family. Yeah, it's my secret kids. Yeah, they're my favorite.
The invisible
ones.
Oh,
did I say that out loud?
Oops.
Dang it. But that's on me. Oh, jeez. Cat's out of the bag. 19% of us think we're completely different from our siblings.
Oh. Completely different.
Wow, yeah.
Wow, no, I can't say that. We have my sister and I are very different in many ways. I will grant you that. In temperament and a few other things. But there are other things that we are very similar in.
Yeah.
And we're not that different.
Would you say, because I feel like I would lean more towards my brother and sister and I have more in common than not. Mm-hmm. Would you say that?
Yes. I would agree with that, yeah.
10% would describe a sibling as a best friend. Mm. Okay. I would say my brother and sister are some of my best friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Always have been. Well, yeah.
When you grow up with them, I mean, it's hard not to. You're spending all that time with them. Hopefully, you have a good relationship. If not, it can be pretty rough.
Well, and here's something that you and I can have relatability in, but in different ways. I imagine for you, not having a whole lot of neighbors and other people around necessarily, so you guys, you know, that you're each other's...
Right, and all the people that were there were almost all relatives. You know, like cousins and stuff. So I didn't have a lot of outside the family where I lived. Yeah, exactly.
We moved around so much that it wasn't just me, but my brother and sister would also have a hard time making friends or at first or anything like that. So you end up becoming each other's friends and stuff. And I think there's a power in that, too, that you carry with you. You know,
although the great times and the fun stuff that my sister and I did, I wouldn't trade that because it was great, you know. And of course, like you said, we have disagreements and that kind of thing. Since we've been adults, that's very rare, you know. So we enjoy each other's company much more than not. So
I've had it brought up to me recently, once in therapy even, about changing things and regrets and some of this stuff. And you know, you saying that makes me think about that, especially with that. I, you know, have had nothing close to a a normal or even positive in some ways, a childhood or anything like that, I wouldn't change a single thing. Mm. Wouldn't change a thing. To me, the question always becomes, what would change with it? And
well, right.
There's too many things like you just mentioned there that I wouldn't want to change.
Everything that happens affects you in some way
yeah.
to where you are now. Now, it's good and bad. We understand that. You know, these are the things that we try to work on. But everything, you know, there's always something before what happened. And this has an effect on what going forward. So, yep.
Seth and I have much more interest in getting a time machine and wasting it by going back and watching big concerts and everything. And, you know, that's good shows.
It's like this esoteric stuff. Yes. It's like, wow, look at that.
8% of us have had a serious physical fight with a sibling before.
Nope.
What's your definition of serious? Because my brother and sister and I used to roughhouse.
Right.
Played this game where it was those two against me, and we just had a football, and I'd be running with it, and then they tackle me, and oh no, I fumble, and I throw the ball in the air.
My sister and I know we never really did that, as far as I know. My sister was too manipulative for that. She wouldn't get into fights. Why would you do that? No, my brother-in-law, David. Mm. He had some real knockdown dragouts with his brothers. Mm. In fact, I don't know if it was a actual fight or not, he hit one of his brothers in the face with an ironing board.
Dang.
Knocked out his front teeth.
Whoa. That's a tough one to get over.
That is a tough one, yes.
Tough one to get over. That's rough. I don't got anything like that one.
No, I don't. Me neither. It's like, whoa, okay. That's pretty serious. Yeah.
38% of people who don't have brothers or sisters are fine with it. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you rather be the oldest, youngest, or middle child? It's more or less a three-way tie, but slightly more people would rather be the oldest. Middle is next, and youngest is third.
Really?
Oldest, 21%. Middle, 19%. Youngest, 18%. Mm-hmm. Only child, 11%, and 30% said not sure. Now I can't prove this, but you know, things that you feel are so true, but you cannot prove in
right.
life. This is one of those times for me where I believe that everybody that answered that is something different.
Yeah.
If you're the oldest, you think it's the best to be the youngest.
The youngest, right?
If you're the youngest, you think it's the best to be the oldest.
Yeah, right.
And if you're the middle child, you know that it's just rough.
You try to either one, right? You pick either the oldest or the youngest in one of those two, right? If you're the middle child, when it's only two, it's a little different because, you know, my sister was 2 years older than me, but we never had that, you know, whatever that when you have more than two children kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but definitely when you have three or more, then that certainly comes into play.
One last part of this study found that they really are, when it comes to middle children, they really are, quote, different in a good way. Middle kids tend to be more cooperative and honest in the way that the study had found. We also got a note from one of our listeners about this.
Guaranteed that the middle child was not the one who voted to be the middle child.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. 100% I believe that.
I do too.
Knowing nothing of what it's like to be a middle child, I still will allow that though.
Very good.
And I think today is a great day. I don't care if you talked to him an hour ago. Reach out to your brother or your sister. If you don't have a brother or sister, or even if you do, might I recommend Big Brothers Big Sisters. It is an incredible program. We have one right here in Central Wisconsin.
We do.
It's a great use of your time. And you want to talk about investments in the future and putting in, making an impact on our future. And there's few things that are more rewarding than that.
Like I was saying earlier, you know, all those things that happen that create who you are in the past. Think about the impact you could have on someone by being that person. That could be huge.
Encourage you to go to bigimpact.org, bigimpact.org, Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin website. Check that out, everybody.
Yep.
Did that when I was out in California. It was amazing. It was an amazing thing. Cool. Also learned that I don't know anything about knots. This kid, man, knew every single style of knot, every type of thing you could think of with a knot. It's really humbling when an 11-year-old is just walking all over you intelligence-wise.
That's awesome. You know, even as a Boy Scout, and I knew plenty of knots because that's a big thing. I didn't know all of them. I'll tell you that much.
He didn't have a lot of books growing up, and he had a Boy Scout book of knots and stuff.
Perfect.
And so the kid just really liked the book.
Really good at knots.
Yeah, he's really good at it. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. We're going to do some celebrating with our good friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Seth and James taking you through the morning right here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Celebrate. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Buy local, support local, support those that support this community and this radio station. Mm-hmm. Appreciate our friends over at El Cafe. Visit them today, not only because of that amazing menu and the wonderful prices, the space they got over there, all great. Of that topped by the people.
Yep. 100%. That they make it the best.
Incredible people over there. Mm-hmm. We appreciate our friends at El Cafe. And, you know, not for nothing, everybody, there ain't nobody doing a birthday and anniversary club around here.
No.
And we have heard that from you out there.
That's right.
We've got all of our cub reporters out there, and I've been hearing for weeks just here and there, hey, I want to let you know, you guys are the only ones doing this or something mm-hmm. like that. We don't say that to brag. We say that because we're proud of that, and we're able to do it thanks to our sponsors at El Cafe.
Absolutely.
And some of the great work that they're helping us do out there. We appreciate them.
And people love to hear them, so we're going to keep doing them.
How does chopped steak and eggs sound for a special?
Wow.
That sounds pretty darn
steak
good.
Steak and eggs in the yes. morning. That'll get you going.
All right, maybe a little bit later today, Wisconsin Berry Burger. God, that sounds good. That sounds good. I mean, you really got to stop doing this job.
I know.
I never thought about
what's wrong with us in the morning, man.
It took me 20 years in radio to realize you shouldn't do radio hungry.
They need to send us food, El Cafe. Yeah, send us food every morning. Hey, that'd be great.
Let's take a call real quick. Good morning. You're on the show.
Morning, James.
Good morning. How you doing, man?
Good. Here's my address for them tapers.
Okay.
2230 James Court, Cranberry Court, House 2.
Okay. All right. We got it. We appreciate you, man. Mm-hmm. You have a great morning.
Yes,
have a good
indeed.
Morning. Yeah, feel free to call up and give us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody.
Yeah.
You can do it just like our caller right there. Mm-hmm. Call up, get us that live birthday and anniversary. We love taking them live. You can also text us through the Civic Media app if you're a little more comfortable doing that. Or direct message us on our Facebook pages. However you got to do it. Morse code, smoke signals. We want your birthdays and anniversaries.
We do.
So we got three of them right here. Seth, give me a 1 through 3.
Let's do 3 today. I like 3.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. We can get right into the celebrating. And first up, want to wish happy birthday to Mike Schroeder.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Enjoy the day, Mike. We're wishing you a good one.
Very
have
much
a great
so.
Day.
Mm-hmm.
Then we want to, and you're going to have to help me with these two.
Uh-oh, okay.
We all want to wish a happy birthday to Sarah Blakuis.
Okay, let me
Blakuis.
See here.
Blakuis.
Let's see, that would be Blakuis. Yeah, something
Blakuis?
Like that.
Blakuis?
Yeah, Blakuis. Yeah. Something that, Sarah, you have a very hard to pronounce last name, but you know that.
Yes, you do. As somebody with the last name Maloff or Haphacker can speak to.
We understand.
And Sarah, we would love if you were to call in and give us the right pronunciation.
Yeah,
make sure
right.
we get this right.
Happy
everything.
Birthday to you.
Birthday.
Yeah.
We want to highlight you. We want to get it right. Mm-hmm. Just like we want to for our qualifier, Gloria Krakowski.
Oh, Gloria, congratulations. Happy birthday.
You go to high school or you spend enough time in central Wisconsin, you're going to get down Polish names.
Oh, you better.
You're going to learn them.
Yeah,
you're going to learn them.
They're around.
God, I don't know. I love them. I love Polish last names.
They're so
names.
Much fun to say.
Yes, yes.
And Italian last names. Those are the last names to say.
And Gloria, my goodness, what a name. Gloria Krakowski.
I know.
Beautiful name.
Love it.
That's a great name, Gloria. Enjoy
Don't
your
anyone
day.
Ever tell you it's not a good name.
Have a great day, Gloria. We say brag to all your friends, family, strangers, animals that you are our qualifier for today.
Indeed.
Let's take a look at our celebrity. Oh, wait. I did have one more. I knew it.
Okay. You caught it.
Yes. We had a caller get it to us yesterday, and my, you know, get sleep, everybody. It's important to get sleep.
Rest your brain.
Want to add to our list Barb Babcock.
Happy birthday, Barb.
Barb, happy birthday.
Happy birthday
Barb.
To you.
Barb's awesome. She's mm-hmm. great. We appreciate people like Barb out there working front desks at many of our facilities out there and doing great work. We
Thank
appreciate
you, Barb.
You, Barb. Enjoy your day.
And happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. Who do you share your birthday with, Barb? What celebrities do you share with? Well, one of them I know that Seth's a fan of. Daisy Ridley is 33.
She is great.
Rey in the new Star Wars movies. She's got an action movie coming out that looks like Liam Neeson could have. It was her or Liam Neeson.
Whoa.
She works, what would you call it? The people that clean windows on skyscrapers and stuff. I think it has a name, but.
It probably does. I just call them window cleaners, but yeah.
We'll say cleaner.
Yeah,
she's a cleaner. She does this, and her brother gets held hostage, so she has to break in there. And, oh, spoiler alert, she's a former military vet.
What?
So it always happens. It always happens.
Any more action stars? Go Daisy.
It looks fun. It looks fun. And she has got another Star Wars movie coming up that they're hard at work on.
That's true.
Continuing her storyline and everything. I really felt like she handled a lot of the bad press that she was getting really well. Bad comments and stuff. The press didn't really have anything. It was more Star Wars fans being jerks.
Yeah.
Which
many of them are for some reason.
As a Star Wars fan, it ticks me off sometimes.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to keeping thoughts to yourself?
Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maureen Morris is 35, country singer. Her 2017 charity single "Dear Hate" is a response to the Las Vegas shooting, and that was
I
know it did well.
She's quite good. She's quite good.
Haley Joel Osment is 37.
Wow!
Wow!
You grew up with him like we did. Wow, man.
He's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
So often child actors, especially ones that are pushed into the spotlight like he was with The Sixth Sense and his incredible
Forrest Gump. And I mean, he was in a lot of big movies when he was a kid.
And that doesn't AI. I almost forgot about AI.
Yeah, that's right. AI. Yeah.
He led the whole thing. He was the lead actor in that and everything. The one thing that I don't like is I've heard some people say, wow, he had a better career as a kid than as an adult. For one, that's on casting director. That's not on him, because his talent hasn't gone anywhere.
No.
He's still just as talented. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I give him credit for taking a lot of roles that you wouldn't think maybe somebody like that with the resume that he has would do. But he puts himself in all kinds of silly, weird situations as an actor and all this stuff. And you could tell that he loves to do this for a living. Mm-hmm. And he's very good at it.
Yes.
Especially as far as child actors go, he's in the top 10 of all time.
Yes.
Look at the resume. Sixth Sense, Pay It Forward, AI, Elijah Wood, Macaulay Culkin, Shirley Temple. There's a handful of child actors.
Right.
The whole cast of Harry Potter.
Right.
That are in that top five, that top 10. Haley Joel is way in the top
five. I would put him up there.
Let's see here. Mandy Moore is 41. Rebecca Pearson, and This Is Us. She's also the voice of Rapunzel in Disney's Tangled.
Yeah, very good singer, too. She had kind of a pop career when she was really young.
Yeah, I always forget that, one of my favorite actors out there, Charlie Hunnam, is 45. Most people know him as Jax on Sons of Anarchy, or maybe you saw him in Pacific Rim. He was in the Guy Ritchie Sword in the Stone movie.
The Arthur set, whatever that was called,
And I'm not saying that was a great movie, but I love it. I love it. It's Guy Ritchie doing basically the Camelot stuff.
Right.
I love it.
Guy Ritchie can be an acquired taste.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. But I'm a big fan of his. Mm-hmm. I think he's really good. And he's found a niche with some of the work that he's done. Mm-hmm. Very similar to a guy he shares a birthday with, David Harbour, who is 50.
Yes.
Most people know him as Jim Hopper on Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
Natasha Super Soldier Dad, Red Guard. Guardian and Black Widow and upcoming Thunderbolts movie.
Yeah. And he looks like one of the most delightful parts of that movie, actually.
Oh, yeah. he's such a fun actor.
Oh, my gosh. He's so much fun.
And he reminds me a lot of Samuel Jackson, where guys who got their break late in their career, and you can tell that they got the ball, they're running with it, and they're having fun.
Yes.
They're going to enjoy this.
Yes.
To me, I wonder if I'd be able to do that. I wonder if getting that break, if I wouldn't be so adamant about, I got to work, got to work, got to work, got to work, you know, and keep that break, hold on to that.
Sure.
These guys seem like, man, I'm good. What happens, happens. I'm just going to keep acting.
I'm guessing
as long as they're paying me to do this, I'm
right,
keep doing
exactly.
It.
It's one of those things where it's like, well, you know, I put in a lot of work and I finally got that break, you know, and they took it in stride. And maybe it's because they were older.
Yeah.
And they can take it more, you know, in perspective, that kind of thing.
I admire it.
Yep.
Brian Setzer is 66.
Wow.
Stray Cat. Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Man, did he have nine lives for a stray cat.
Oh, man. Oh, just golf clap. Yes. Woo! Rocking this town, Stray Cat Strut. Mm-hmm. I was a huge Stray Cats fan.
They were good. That was a good band.
I really liked the Stray Cats as a kid. There was nothing like that. And what a, like 30 years later to spin that into
the Brian Setzer Orchestra. Yeah. And basically, I mean, he was one of the, that started the swing craze in the late 90s. He was part of the, he wasn't just jumping on the bandwagon. He helped start it. So
yeah, I think almost every single ska band can thank the Brian Setzer Orchestra. Yes. For helping really set a tone in the late 90s.
Yeah, right.
That we all put up with for about a month. And for ska music was gigantic for about a month.
Yeah.
Late 90s. Brian Setzer, very talented, by the way, too. Really good composer.
Yep. All good, that. Very good guitarist, too.
Let's see here. Steven Seagal is 73. moving on.
You know, there was a time when Steven Seagal put out some great dumb action films, you know.
I never got
I'm
it.
Not I'm I yeah. I remember watching a few and they weren't great movies, but they were entertaining.
I feel like between him and Jean-Claude Van Damme, you had to pick. You couldn't do both. I picked Jean-Claude. I could handle his dumb action movies. I couldn't handle both of them.
Seagal's were so weird.
Seagal's
weird
acting,
movies.
Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme is not a great actor.
No.
But he does a decent job with the things that he does. And especially when he plays a villain. He's very good at playing a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Seagal is like nails on a chalkboard for me watching him act. And then to see him in, like, the older he got doing quote-unquote martial arts, where, I mean, like, so it's famously known for, at least by some people and everything, that when Bruce Lee was so fast, they had to slow down the footage for him.
Right.
Enter the Dragon, part of the reason some of the scenes are the way they do it.
It's slow-mo, right, yeah.
The cameras back then could not catch what Bruce was doing. I believe the opposite is true for Steven Seagal, where they had to literally, like speed things up just so it looked like he was... Some people no longer with us. You cannot tell the story of football without John Madden. Born in 1936, passed away in 2021. Football sportscasting legend. Of course, the Madden video franchise, which is huge. I love.
He had like three massive things that he was attached to. First, all the success he had as the Raiders head coach. By the way, look at his stats as a coach. My goodness, impressive.
I believe he still has the all-time winning percentage as
a coach.
I
believe he does, yes. He made like the playoffs every year he coached, except for like one or something like that. And then, of course, his long career as a broadcaster. And then the whole Madden franchise, which became like the biggest video game series ever.
Turkey legs, turkey turduncan,
turduckins, the bus, what everyone knows about. I mean,
how much language that he invented that we still do to this day. And every kid in our generation, if you see somebody working on a teleprompter, you end up thinking of Madden eventually.
I heard someone just recently use the word slobberknocker in a different context. And I was like, John Madden, he's the one. I don't know if he came up with it, but he popularized that word.
I will say I think of JR from WWE as well, with slobberknocker. Madden also, we don't get enough time here, but also helped invent a lot of the things in broadcasting that you see, like the teleprompter.
He was so good with the pen, the telestrator, and he was the one that really kind of had fun with that. So
also, Don Meredith would have been celebrating a birthday today. Original Monday Night Football sportscaster.
Yes.
So very
and a very good quarterback, too, for the early Dallas Cowboys, Dandy Don Meredith.
And then a couple of great actors to wrap up with. Max von Sydow, born in the state in 1929, the three-eyed raven for many Game of Thrones fans, a Minority Report, The Exorcist, of course, but most importantly, got to mention Ming the Merciless in 1980's Flash Gordon.
Hilarious.
Flash.
How about The Seventh Seal?
Yeah,
one of the greatest films of all time from Ingmar Bergman. He was a great Swedish actor, Van Sydow was, yes.
Yeah, no, but that's a great one. I'm ashamed of myself.
Ming the Merciless. Get out of here.
I had to mention Flash Gordon. It's great. It's great, man. And Omar Sharif, born in the state in 1932. Dr. Zhiago, funny girl. Lawrence of Arabia. My God.
Good actor. Wow, he was good.
One of the things I like looking at with actors is seeing like how many of them, like back to back to back to back, like hits or great roles and everything. He's one of my favorites to look at.
Man.
very few actors have a window of like 3 to 4 years or 3 to 4 films that are as incredible as and impressive as his work.
And that's in the 60s. Yeah, he made some some amazing films. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy birthdays and anniversaries to everybody out there celebrating. Yeah. Keep in mind, we'll take them all show long. Feel free to get them to us. And we encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Get to a news, sports, and partner break. We'll be back with more show coming up here at WFHR. Ah, dang it. Why do they? It's not the one I meant. I meant Cheap Trick. I meant Dream Police. Oh, this song is an earworm for me.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
My brother and sister used to tease me with this song whenever they could.
Of course they did,
yeah,
right?
Oh, darn it. Welcome back. Just in a little trauma here.
Yeah, he'll be listening, hearing this all day in his head now.
We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're having a good Friday Eve out there. Seth and mm-hmm. James here with you. And this is kind of a part two of a conversation we had last week, Seth.
Oh, okay. All
you
right.
You and I got together. We were talking about men in suits and how most men can feel a little bit more, feel better in a suit. And we talked it feels like, at least when we were kids, maybe we are the last generation of this, because mm-hmm. I'm not putting this on any generation at all, but mm-hmm. past or forward. But I do feel like up until us, it was kind of a thing where every man should have one good suit.
Right.
You know, it was that thing. I think it was handed down to us a lot of that.
Weddings and funerals, right? That's what you need them for.
I know I have one. Mm-hmm. I've got one. Actually, I need fitted, which, by the way, audience could use some help with, because it's pretty hard to find a seamster right now.
A tailor or a seamstress,
any of the above. I got a suit I'm dying to wear for my daughter's wedding.
Right.
But it is so big on me.
You do need to get that tailored a little bit.
I really thought I got the sizes right. I did not. Did not, but man, it looks good on me.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
At least I think it will.
Yeah,
I think
it will look nice. If it's tailored, it'll look really good on you.
And I just said that live on the air. And I am the person that never says I look good. I am not a confident human being.
Yeah, there you go.
I have a quiet confidence to do the things I love to do, like radio or acting or anything like that. But as far as like anything outside of that, I'm very honest about that. I'm working on that kind of thing. But this might help, and not just me, but anybody else out there, of course. According to new research, the average man feels 67% more confident when sporting their best suit or tuxedo.
Okay, wow.
And that doesn't mean they just feel like James Bond. It means that they're confident about dressing themselves, partially. About 20% of men admit that they're not confident about their ability to tie a necktie, and 24% admit that their partner ties a better one than they do. And those are very similar percentages to as far as like, hey, honey, what should I wear tonight? Or, hey, what do you think of this?
Right.
The difference of that question and everything. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like many men aren't getting the reps they used to get, because around 10% say that they have to go to video they watch when it comes to doing a tie.
Okay.
And another 10% said that they only purchase clip-on ties.
Wow.
I'm not great at tying a tie. Okay. I'll admit, it takes me a time or two, but I refuse to do the clip-on tie. Like, if it's a part, if it's acting, complete opposite.
Right.
In fact, especially if you...
Sometimes you have to take it off quickly, right?
Quick costume changes and everything, they come really in handy.
Yep.
But in my personal life, you will never see me in a clip-on tie.
Right.
Never. I can't do it.
I am actually quite confident in my tie ability, and I don't use it very much, but it's one of those things that you never lose. If you know, when I do have to put a tie on, it comes back really quick, you know. No, it's not something I'm too worried about. Now, bow ties, on the other hand, I have never been able to master. Beth has learned, and bless her to do it, because every time I wear bow ties too, not a lot, but I occasionally wear bow ties, and she is the one that has to tie them for me. So, and there's nothing wrong with clip-on bow ties, by the way.
No,
there's nothing wrong with that.
One other thing about this one was standing out to me too.
Okay.
How many people do this? A show of hands, and everybody be honest. You have a tie and you just loosen it.
Yeah.
And then you just keep it hung by your suits.
You can do that.
I've got three ties that are still tied.
Well, if you know it's a good knot, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's a solid knot, man.
Yeah,
it's
right. Yeah.
I also, real quickly, other thing here. I don't, maybe I'm so away from this world, I don't know, but I miss kind of when ties were a thing. And we know they were because for a while there were the really long ties, there were the really wide ties yep. and there were the thin ties.
The skinny ties, yep.
Yeah.
We're kind of in a skinny tie era again right now kind of thing. It's a fashion thing. It comes and goes. But
I will say one thing that has never worked is the super long tie. that I've never understood that.
That's right.
Like, what is that?
Unless it's for like really tall people? Yeah, that would be the thing who have like long torsos, because then it looks weird if you don't have it.
Yeah, you and I are really tall, and we know it doesn't look right, though. I don't get it.
And it's how you tie it and everything, but yeah.
I feel like if you want a tail, just have a tail. Like, it just feels like a tail for your neck.
It's my neck tail.
Yeah, neck tail. The most common tie-related thing men Google is, how long should a tie be?
Yeah. Huh? See? Huh? Makes sense.
Even fewer people can handle a bow tie. Huh? To what you were talking
about.
Bow
ties are harder to tie, definitely, than neckties, yeah.
47% of men say that they have no idea where to start with a bow tie.
Those are hard, man.
What is your thoughts on ties, everybody? 715-424-2600.
Oh, you know what I wonder? If you look back at pictures of like what the 1830s and 40s, men had neckwear, but it was just like a piece of cloth that they wrapped around their necks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You've seen old pictures or old paintings of guys, and that was the neckwear that they wore. It's just like a big strap, or like a cummerbund for your neck. I guess I don't know how else to describe it. I know it has a name, but I can't remember. It's not an ascot, which is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder why those have never come back.
Ascot or bolo tie. I don't have anything against them,
right?
But you got to be able to pull them off.
Yeah, there are certain people can do it.
Some people, not Tony Bennett. some like it hot. Jack Lemmon and
Tony Curtis.
Tony Curtis, thank you. Tony Curtis could pull that off.
Yeah, he could do an ascot. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Tony Curtis, the second he was off set, he had an ascot up. Bolo ties.
Yes.
You see a lot of like Western people be able to pull that off.
Yes, well, you need, but that's a whole look, man.
Yeah,
you need the right shirt on. You need the right accoutrements. Yeah, otherwise a bolo tie would look very weird if it didn't have that extra stuff on there.
When I played a deputy in I think it was in Rainmaker, I got to wear a bolo tie. It wasn't all right. All right, fit the role.
Yeah,
a new study has found that bad background music at work can destroy employees' moods and productivity.
Oh my gosh.
Of course, bad music is subjective, but even if it's upbeat and customer friendly, it can be mentally draining to workers if it's not what they like to listen to.
Oh, I totally get that. Yeah.
Think about the holidays. Employees who enjoy Christmas music can seem much more engaged and pleasant than the ones who are one all I want for Christmas away from, a psychotic breakdown or something like that.
Yeah.
Big corporate places probably won't change anything, but small businesses can benefit by allowing the staff to pick their own music within reason, or by creating quiet zones where they're able to escape the madness.
Okay.
And this is interesting to me on that level as much as it is in what we do in radio, because radio is not one size fits all.
Right.
And one of the powers of radio is things that we're doing right now, local radio. Nobody can do what we're doing right now. Broadcasting
unless you're right here.
From Central Wisconsin and broadcasting. Yes. Like,
except us. Yeah. We're the ones.
That's one of those things that's an acquired thing. Mm-hmm. And while we may be really big here, we shout out to our listeners in Florida and out east and west and everything. It's really cool.
We have some Madison listeners too, by the way.
Big shout out to them as well. Milwaukee. I know we got some people in La Crosse. Yeah, we appreciate all y'all. But one of the things that it is like baseball. It's regional.
It is.
And I think there's a power in that. It's no different than if you, microscope that down to businesses.
Mm.
And, hey, what are your customers like? Because employees are important, but you got to go customer first.
Right.
If you're not putting the customers first, no matter what your business is, I don't think you're good at business.
It's not going to work. Yeah.
And that always got to come first.
Mm-hmm.
And it, to me, you got to start there, and then you check with the employees.
Right.
But if the employees can't handle it, there are worse things.
Yeah.
Now, I do think that as far as motivation goes, that's something that you're a self-starter. I think every single human being is a self-starter, just whether or not you choose to pull the cord or not and rev that engine. Music can help, though.
Yes.
So finding that balance, I think, is important.
Right, right.
I would like to think, how many people would like Muzak, though? Muzak, because that's that's the one that's always stood out to me. I had a good friend of mine that worked at a classic rock station out in California, and he enjoyed that work very much. But right next to him in that building, and I remember this building, it's not there anymore, but I worked in it a little bit. They had, you know, soundproofing, and that's it. So while you couldn't hear the other music, the second the door cracked, just Muzak of every song you wanted to hear, you didn't want to hear in Muzak.
Right, right, exactly.
He can't, to this day, he can't handle that stuff, man. If he gets in an elevator and it's playing Muzak, I believe he would get out of it.
I'm taking the stairs.
Take the stairs.
I'm taking the stairs.
I think this is one of those great examples and great opportunities for employers and owners and managers to, you know, hey, I wonder if this is an issue with my employees.
Right.
Maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't. If it is, even if you could increase things by a little bit, I think it's worth it.
Right. Right. Well, and you know what? What is it going to hurt talking to your employees about what they want?
Yeah.
You know, they understand things, you know, just as well. To me, it's I don't care what business it is. If you're running it like, you know, like, well, I'm the boss and what I say goes no matter what kind of thing. It's like, no, I guess it'll work, but are you going to have happy employees? Are you using your employees to the best of their ability? I mean, if you don't know that and you're just going to say, well, no, you got to do this and this and this, well, what's the point, you know?
One of the things to come out of the pandemic and that is stuck from the pandemic is this great migration of people going from jobs to careers and employees realizing, wait a minute, I have power. And that you're not putting the genie back in the bottle.
Oh, no. No, you cannot.
And if you're good at business, if you're a good manager, you lean into that and you find ways to make that work for everybody.
Yep.
And if you don't, those people go on to other businesses or other jobs.
Right. Well, and that's the – even if you take care of them, you know, you pay them a good wage and everything like that, yeah, that's great, but they can find other jobs that pay a good wage.
Yeah.
And if you're not, if they don't feel like they're being appreciated or anything like that, well, guess what?
Well,
maybe they'll find something else.
In this day and age, there's a lot of jobs out there. There's
there are
a lot of jobs out there, so it's not surprising to see that.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really want to know what the music is that is driving people crazy. We got to come back to that.
You know,
I want to hear from you guys out there.
You know, it's fine working there, but the thrash metal they play all the time is a little distracting, I have to say.
It's the retro jazz that's driving me. Take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show. There's the cheap trick. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. I got another one here for you, and okay. I think this is a good one, especially in modern times. 6 things you shouldn't tell ChatGPT.
Oh, good. That's very good.
Only 6?
Only 6. that we know of now, I guess. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's a great point. AI experts are cautioning people to be careful with what they share with AI, chatbots, AI and chatbots, because all that data could get hacked someday. And here are a few things you shouldn't tell ChatGPT.
Makes sense.
I would say that this is kind of probably going to be a really good rule of thumb for a lot of things when it comes to online information.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Your passwords. Don't tell it to remember your password is 1234, or it might end up on the dark web someday. Why would you? I feel like I'm missing something here. Why would you tell ChatGPT
to remember your passwords?
I guess I didn't even realize it could do that. I don't know.
But I don't want to do that.
This is probably a really good opportunity for me to mention. I have literally never used any ChatGPT or even pulled it up or anything
like that. I have not.
I'm not saying that like I'm taking some gigantic stand against it. I just have no use for it.
No,
so I haven't had to look at it.
Right.
I've done my homework as far as other people and the use of it in my industry,
sure,
as far as acting and writing go and stuff. But I don't know what that was. Stuff that could be used to steal your identity, like passport info or social security number, even your full name and address might be risky.
So don't make address labels with ChatGPT.
We're only 2 things in, and I'm wondering, what can you tell ChatGPT? Man, I'm afraid to tell ChatGPT, ChatGPT.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to say its own name.
Maybe it's listening right now. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Financial information. Don't share things like bank account numbers or crypto keys.
Of course not.
What?
You should do anything like that online, period.
Look, this is not going to be popular, but sometimes we got seatbelt laws and helmet laws for a reason.
We do.
And it's not for the people that remember to use them. That's all I'm going to say. It's a George Carlin bit I'd love to quote right now.
Oh, yes.
Sharing financial information with ChatGPT. Hey, ChatGPT, here's my bank account number. What do you think?
Why?
Is it a weird number? I think it's a weird number.
Well, I mean, seriously, for what reason? I guess I don't know.
What is the reason behind this? Please let us know.
Yes, are you a ChatGPT?
Send me the app and get a hold of us.
Oh, good Lord.
Illegal activity, even if you're just joking. OpenAI does track chats. Their privacy policy says that they can use your data to detect or prevent illegal activity.
Uh-huh.
And they can share it with authorities if required by law.
Wow.
Now, I think that's great. I think that's awesome. And again, especially if you were a criminal, imagine being like, okay, so you're sitting, you're planning your Ocean's 11 type, like, bank robbery of a Las Vegas casino or something
right,
like that.
Right, right.
And you decide, well, I want to make sure that I got this right.
Tell me how to rob a bank or a Las Vegas casino, right? Yeah.
That actually is the plot for Ocean's 14. It's 20 minutes long. It's 20 minutes long.
And you're caught.
It's just Clooney, Pitt, and Damon sitting there in front of a computer talking to ChatGPT while the FBI breaks in 5 minutes later.
Hilarious.
It's actually longer than any actual bank robbery in Las Vegas history.
That's true.
They got that going. Who's doing this?
Oh, my God.
Embarrassing secrets. Yeah, don't share that with anybody, let alone ChatGPT. You share that with, maybe if you're fortunate, you get a really good best friend or your significant other and you're bonding and you're sharing, stories, or you are drunk at 2 a.m. That is the only time embarrassing secrets are supposed to come out, not ChatGPT.
Man, if you are drunk at 2 a.m, don't go near your computer or your phone.
No.
Just stay away. Stay away.
That's one of those app things where they gotta make it like a safe on your phone. Like if you can't, the drunk driving test with your phone.
Well, your breathalyzer on there.
Yes. You cannot use your phone.
Well, I can't, except for emergency. That's all you need.
I probably shouldn't have said that out loud. Somebody's going to take that and run with it. Somebody's got to. And corporate info. If you use ChatGPT for work, be careful you don't disclose any sensitive information your company would want out in the world. ChatGPT has an option that lets you manage its memory, and there's a big list of everything it knows about you. So maybe check that before
Oh, boy. And remember, too, everybody, I mean, everything you put into ChatGPT goes into the learning of the quote unquote AI, whatever you want to call it, the large language model. Let's put it that way. So think about it before you say it, just like anything, So think about it before you send that text or that email. Same thing.
As Herm Edwards warned us, think before you hit send.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of this stuff is good to talk about, for one, because some people out there are not coming into this with a lot of, tech knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I can see make mistakes happening. And that's not just seniors, but that's anybody. And I think the more we talk about these things, the more we get away some of the fear and unknown of ChatGPT and some of this stuff, while also hopefully getting people to understand why there is some fear with it. While I don't think some industries need to worry about it, there's a real concern in the writing community with this stuff. There's other levels to this,
right? Exactly. So we be careful, use caution with these kinds of things, everyone. So
and while I'll admit I'm having a hard time coming up with examples, they always have in comedy the rule of three. You don't bring up examples unless you only have three. You only stick with three.
Just three.
No more, no less.
Yep.
I got zero right now. but I'm sure that ChatGPT has positives and has.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
So that's another thing, too.
Yeah.
While it's so easy to kind of like make fun of or pick on this stuff, I'm sure that it has some good use. Just haven't come across it.
I don't think it's as life-changing as some people are telling us. It seems like a pretty simple thing. But yeah, it can have its applications, I'm sure.
I'm a big believer in bandwidth. The human brain only has so much bandwidth. What are you going to fill it with and everything? Right. I fill it with sports scores and Simpsons information. What you do with it is your choice. But I recommend, I encourage you to, there's some stuff doesn't deserve your fear.
Exactly.
Especially when there's other things out there that really, need our focus.
Are much more dangerous.
We're coming back with our Pet of the Week from the Southland County Humane Society right here on The Morning Show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE.